Hello, this is astrologer Shelley Entine, and what I'm doing on this particular podcast, which happens during the week beginning Monday, June 16th and Sunday, the 22nd, is to do a separate podcast for the summer solstice, which arrives on Friday, the 20th. And that is when the sun enters Cancer. And it is actually 10:43 p.m. in the Eastern Daylight Time when that takes place. And the first thing I want to do is apologize to any listeners who are in the Southern Hemisphere, because this should be called the midwinter solstice for you down there. Just opposite of us. But I am looking at a chart that is set for Washington, D.C. And so it's got some interesting pieces for sure. First of all, when the sun enters zero Cancer, it is now going to be going right into a conjunction to Jupiter fairly soon, because it's only a 2-degree separation here. So we read that already as the conjunction, and we say, wow, if we ever were going to feel Cancerian, it's going to be now, because this is the moment of Cancer, and it is also expanding with Jupiter there. So we know then that as this solstice is approaching, there is a high degree of feelings and sensitivities. And this is going to be a kind of a mark on the period of time. That's why I'm doing the chart reading for the solstice, because this is now what we may see for the coming time from this experience of the solstice to the experience of the equinox in autumn. And those of you who have been listening to me for a long time know that I look at the way the Celtics looked at this time period issue, and they were absolutely aware of the importance of the shifts of the sun in terms of hours of daylight and what that might bring. So when we get to this time, we are not looking at the season changing into summer. Many of us are already well aware of the fact that we are experiencing summer in the Northern Hemisphere. But we are reaching the point where we have the greatest amount of light in the Northern Hemisphere. And all of this is about the movement of the sun as we look at it on the horizon line. So it has come as far north as it could. And now it stands still, which is what solstice means. The sun is the soul and this is the stop. And so it doesn't move on the horizon in any direction for 3 days. Then when it starts to move again, it will now be moving toward the south, which is all about the tilt of our Earth's axis in relationship to our orbit of the sun, right? So what happens is we move into the time where the light hours are diminishing. Now, they won't diminish that much. You won't probably notice them too much as a diminishment. But as we go forward through July and the end of June, you probably won't notice. And we go through July and into August, it may start to look, as we get closer to August, that, wow, the sky looks different and nature is doing different stuff, right? And that's when you get to an equinox that comes at the end of September. And this is going to be the time of equal day and light that is in the season of fall. You will already notice that season. And so this is how it goes. The seasons are on what they call the cross quarters of the year, and the equinox falls in a time frame. Doesn't create the time frame. And so the next equinox is fall, in the fall, which we would look at as starting in the August time with one of the first great harvests, the most important harvest in the low light time frame, is the harvest of the grains, which can be put away, preserved, and serve as food, other things too, nuts and things that aren't going to easily go bad, things you don't have to eat right away. Okay, so that's a piece on the solstice. And so the solstice is now a shift of light into the time of lower light. And there's a whole half of the year that we are entering into, the lower light half of the year, which will end at the midwinter solstice, which is when it gets to the greatest far south it can get, and then it will stop for 3 days and begin to move north again. For the northern hemisphere, we will increase days of light. That's the way it is in the sky. And I'm very fond of being aware of the actual way it is in the sky, because that's one thing we can know. That, you know, it's not faux news. The faux news part was telling you that this was the beginning of summer. That was never the case. So, you have this chart with this increased feeling, again, as I said, of the Cancer energy. And the Cancer energy is in that sensitized place that wants to be secure, and that's emotionally, but also materially. Cancer knows it needs to provide a safe space. You know, you can be out in the world and you have to deal with things, but there should be a place I can go where I can rest. And that's the building of the home, the safe space, and the putting in of others, you know, starting a family so that there are others in the home to help support that place. I think we have lost that idea quite a bit. Because we don't remember the connections to these energies. We don't remember what's going on. But we know that what's happening from now on with this light phase is intensified. If you were in the old days, work in the fields and the harvests are coming in, and it's just, you know, the time to hope and pray that the sun has given us healthy, happy plant kingdom, and also the livestock as well. We're going to be leaning on them as well. So celebrations, you know, this is the when the sun rises through the stones at Stonehenge, but there's also some things that happen at places that are in Ireland and Wales. There's a burial chamber that is pierced by sunlight. And so, you know, this is a time that these calendars would be definitely marking, because it is such a big deal that things are going to become darker. And so it is. So what's going on with the astrology? Well, also at 0 degrees of a sign is the moon transit. It went into 0 degrees of Taurus. And it is in a perfect sextile then at this moment to the sun. And also the moon will move to make the sextile to Jupiter. It will move, you know, faster to get there. You know, it goes about 12 degrees a day at least. So you have an easy time of, you know, feeling optimistic. And it also is making aspects to Mars, which has left the fire sign of Leo and is at 2 degrees of Virgo. So this early degrees is starting to be a feature at this moment. So for the Taurus moon, it's going into a trine, which is an easy flow. And this is a really good experience for the moon that's very concerned with monetary, material things, real estate, just, you know, things that must be handled in the mundane world. This trine to Mars in Virgo is the notion of also taking care of perfecting and organizing. And it's the energy that the sun will be in when we're trying to preserve and organize the food so that it will last us through the winter in the olden days. So this is a day, the solstice day, that we can have celebration, definitely, but we can also look ahead and make some idea of what we want to see happen on the mundane levels within our lives as we move into this next part of the solar year. However, this is going to carry through, even though it's a daily aspect, it'll carry through, and you'll be doing that for the time before the equinox. But one of the things that's happening is that the moon is also moving towards Pluto, retrograding in 3 degrees of Aquarius. And so we see that square that's coming. And what we also see, if we expand out, well, first let me just say that that particular square is about Pluto, the planet of transformation and change, and the moon needing security in the changelessness of the preservation of things, Taurus. That is what we're always dealing with now. What is going to happen? What's going to be changing? How will it affect our everyday lives? And the constant transformation now of the electronic media platforms of, you know, it's just amazing what keeps happening. And also the different attacks and things that are happening in those realms. So it's making the moon in Taurus a little bit edgy, you know, because it's just not a sure thing. And we're not sure we can keep things going the way they are. Also, in that realm is the fact that the sun and Jupiter are in square to Saturn and Neptune in Aries. So, and this is really basically saying the same thing. My security, Cancer, emotionally and materially, physically, doesn't know what all of this stuff that's changing in this face of actions. Saturn in Aries can be a government action. and also figuring out new ways to act that will provide structure. Will it or will it be a burden? Saturn. Neptune in Aries has ideals of what could be, but also there's a lack of clarity of what the motives are, if there are things that are unknown about these actions, you know, if they're going to be having a consequence that's going to be more dissolving. We've been through a long time of the Pisces energy, and that a lot of things seem to be dissolving around us. So this particular chart is showing that we have not come out of that. We will still be processing in this way as we go through this, what we could call third quarter phase of the solar year. When we get to the midsummer solstice, we have come to the fruition point of our waxing light year, just like a full moon now. We are looking at how we did. Did we get everything done that we wanted to get done? Did we do the work we needed to do to have this harvest that's going to continue to come in a good way in our lives? Okay, so this is a point of reference. Now, one of the things that has formed in the sky is what we call a yod, or finger of God. Okay, this is when we find planets that are sextal each other. So that's the Sun, Jupiter, sextal Mars in Virgo. And they are both in a discomfort act, need to adjust. And what are they in that too? Pluto at 3 degrees of Aquarius. It's 150 degrees that separates Pluto and Mars and Pluto in the Sun-Jupiter conjunction. So there has to be some way for us to bring those points, that need for security, that focus on perfecting and organizing and work of things working well, because Virgo is a sign also of work and health. And so Cancer also is a sign of health through nutrition and nurturing. So we're looking at those qualities also and how we can maintain these things in the face of the transformation of the future and our group energies as well. Other things are happening because the Pluto energy is sextal the Saturn Neptune in Aries. So the fuel of this opportunity is for us to look back, because Pluto's retrograde, at the changes that have already occurred and make our adjustments also based on that to how we can act in a good way that would give us a more positive experience of the vision we have, a good vision for the future. Uranus is in Taurus, and that's in Washington, D.C., at the bottom of the chart, in the fourth house, the house of Cancer. And that's a change and instability in the Taurian realm of, you know, the world. So we're going to be really watching all of this, you know, very closely, knowing that in a very short while, Uranus is going to shift into Gemini for a short period of time, but enough of a period of time for us to get a taste of what that intuitive download and the even greater ideas of electronics in the mind and all of that. We're going to be looking at a growth spurt for AI, which people are already talking about. I'm hearing things like, you know, we will be letting it do everything for us so that we have more free time to what? You know, if they take over your self-expression and writing or planning or anything, I mean, exactly what are you doing? I am not a fan of this, but, you know, there's not much I can do about that except continue to do my own writing for my Substacks, my forecasts, and, you know, continue it being my voice speaking to you instead of a voice that isn't human. I mean, I don't really like that myself very much, but Uranus in Gemini this time is going to also indicate these things, and especially when in the early part where we have a trine from Uranus and Gemini to Pluto in Aquarius. Right? So we are, again, in a place of opportunity, but also challenge. And so these are the challenges that I see coming now for us in this third quarter phase of the solar cycle. So, Mercury in Cancer, right at the end, I had to say that, is in an uncomfortable aspect to Aquarius, which is to Pallas Athena, the wisdom warrior, that is sitting in close conjunction to Kariklo, the wife of Chiron, who is there in a good way to help us allow for transformation, to help us gain the wisdom that we need in order to make transformation work for us. And so Mercury in Cancer is sentimental about the past. I mean, I have a lot of that because I'm older. And, you know, well, it was so nice when we, wasn't it great when we were able to, you know, and all of this stuff starts happening. And this thinking is natural for people who have seen different times, but it isn't going to work well with the transformation of things that we have to look at. However, I am still going to hold to my desire not to use AI to do my writing for me, because I've been a writer for a very long time, and I don't think AI could have produced the trilogy of Revealing the Druid Legacy. I really don't think so, because I had to receive that, and that's what happened. So there are places where you can go with it, but there are places where it cannot give you what a human can give you. So all of this in mind, and I'm wishing you a wonderful time through the signs of Cancer, and Leo, and Virgo, and then getting to that 0 degree of the sign of Libra, which happens in late September when we go into the last quarter phase, the darkest part of the darkest half of the year. So, anyway, wishing you a good summer solstice. You might want to take this kind of energy in and do your own inner work with it and meditate with it and do, you know, card readings for yourself or get a reading for yourself. If you feel like it would be a good idea to get some grounding and some answers. And so, having said that, I will say goodbye for now.